It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Facebook could soon pay billions to settle with the federal government. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Several published reports say the Federal Trade Commission is reportedly ready to hit Facebook with a $5 billion fine. This follows the Cambridge Analytica scandal 2 years ago, which involved the sharing of data from tens of millions of Facebook users. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is following this. Nancy, put this fine into some context.
Well, David, this would be a record. It would be much bigger than the $22 million fine from the FTC against Google back in 2012. But Facebook reported more than $55 billion in revenue last year. So, of course, a fine of about $5 billion is just a fraction of that. Facebook would be paying up to settle violations of a previous FTC settlement, which was also about user privacy. And, David, the FTC has other ways of punishing Facebook. It could hold CEO Mark Zuckerberg personally responsible for problems like big lapses in user privacy, or impose more oversight on what Facebook does with its users' data. We, of course, won't know for sure until all this is finalized.
So what's next then in this developing story?
Well, this latest settlement has to be reviewed by the Justice Department, but Justice is not expected to reject it.
And this comes as Facebook is about to get put on the grill in Congress?
Exactly. The House Judiciary Committee is scheduled to hold a hearing tomorrow grilling Facebook. It will cover antitrust issues, looking at the question of whether big tech companies should be broken up. Representatives from Facebook, also Apple and Amazon, will be there. And the underlying issue at these congressional hearings and with the FTC fine is how the federal government will regulate Facebook and big tech and deal with questions of free speech, privacy, and election interference.
Nancy, thank you for this. There is news today that China's economy grew at its slowest pace in 3 decades, 6.2%. annualized, which is just down a sliver from the previous reading. Chinese consumers were relatively ebullient, partly counteracting friction caused by the trade war. Today, negotiations begin as GM, Chrysler, and Ford and the United Auto Workers get cracking on the next 4-year contract. The talks come at a time of relative prosperity for the carmakers, but also uncertainty for both companies and workers. From our Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
While the big three have enjoyed a decade of profitability, sales have slumped in recent months as the companies grapple with changing consumer tastes and advances in electric and autonomous vehicles. Kristen Chichek with the Center for Automotive Research says they'll want to stay nimble.
They'd like to have as much of the compensation to the workers be in contingent pay, so things like profit sharing or lump sums that could be canceled if need be.
Meanwhile, auto workers, often seen as a bellwether of the state of America's middle class, are galvanized to make tough demands, according to labor economist Harley Shaken of UC Berkeley.
The talks are in Detroit, but the stakes, I think, affect working Americans far more broadly.
During the recession, when two of the three automakers went bankrupt, he says workers made concessions, foregoing wage increases for years and allowing more temporary and lower paid workers.
They sacrificed. They performed well. They were committed to rescuing these companies, and they succeeded.
So they'll be fighting to regain the ground they lost and secure their positions for the future. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
In about an hour, Citigroup reports quarterly profits, followed this week by its rivals. More than a decade after the financial crisis, U.S. banks have been a relatively strong part of the American economy, especially when you compare them with their European counterparts. Marketplace's Justin Ho reports.
Banks in the U.S. have benefited from a booming economy. More people taking out more loans means banks pocket more interest. But Mike Mayo at Wells Fargo says there's something else at work.
The strength of the U.S. banking industry is about as good as it's been in decades. And for that, we say thank you, regulators.
After the financial crisis, U.S. regulators acted fast. Higher capital requirements forced banks to beef up their safety cushions. Annual stress tests forced banks to simulate crisis situations. Nancy Bush at NAB Research says as much as banks complained about regulations after the crisis,
we came out of it in great shape relative to the rest of the world.
Bush says European regulators did impose their own stress tests, but they just weren't as rigorous as the Federal Reserve's. Last week, EU auditors found that European stress tests may have been too easy.
The joke was that it was a stress test with no stress.
Many banks in Europe don't have much capital in store in case of a downturn. Several big European banks are scaling back. Deutsche Bank's plan to shrink its investment banking division and lay off thousands of employees is the latest example. Mike Mayo at Wells Fargo says today, European banks are struggling to compete with American ones.
Now the largest U.S. banks, Citigroup and others, are 2 to 3 times larger than the largest European investment banks.
It doesn't help that Europe's economy continues to cool down. But Chris Zaccarelli at the Independent Advisors Alliance says American banks are exposed to these headwinds too.
They're also making loans to European businesses and, to some extent, European consumers.
Low interest rates in Europe have made it harder for banks to make interest on loans. And Zaccarelli says interest rates in the U.S. are headed lower, too, with the Fed poised to cut rates this year.
All things being equal, if everything goes lower, it does make it more difficult for banks to make money.
Not to mention anyone with a savings account. With rates falling in the U.S., savers won't be earning much interest anytime soon. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And the cause of Saturday evening's blackout in New York City remains a mystery this morning. 72,000 customers lost power for about 5 hours. People had to be evacuated from stalled subway cars and elevators. A lot of Broadway had to cancel. New York's governor fired quite a rhetorical warning over the utility company's bow, suggesting maybe it's time for a change of provider. Andrew Cuomo told WCBS Radio that Con Edison, quote, does not have a franchise granted by God. You can look through the Bible. Unquote. The lights went out on the 42nd anniversary of the great 1977 New York power failure, which lasted 25 hours and was a much bigger mess. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.